is brought to you by Calvary Bible Church in Burbank, California. We trust that this recording will be of benefit to you and will be a challenge to your Christian faith and walk. For more information about Calvary Bible Church, see our website at calvarybiblechurch.org or call us at 818-556-4840.
Good evening, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Since I'm going to tell you a little bit about some saints, I'm going to give you a free one, an extra one, St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was at the Council of Nicaea. He was a bishop. He was sent to the Council of Nicaea. And while there, he punched the arch-heretic Arius because he got so tired of hearing Arius's nonsense. So there's a picture that you can find on the internet. You know, they take a picture and they put like a little subtitle underneath it. And my kids are rather fond of it. It's a picture of St. Nicholas and it said, "I came here to give kids presents and punch heretics, and I just ran out of presents." Patrick himself was quite a bit different than what we think about him. "I am Patrick, the ignorant sinner. I declare a bishop in Ireland, a position I believe I was appointed to by God himself. I am a stranger and an exile living among barbarians and pagans because God cares for them. God is my witness that this is the truth. I don't like to use forceful words or harsh language, but I will do it because the anger of God and the truth of Christ force me to do so. I do it for the love of my neighbors here in Ireland and for my spiritual children. I have traded in my homeland, my family, and my very life for them, even if it means my death. If I am worthy, I will devote the rest of my days to teaching the Irish, even if some of you beyond this island despise me. With my own hand, I write this letter given to my messenger, carried on his way, and handed over to you, the soldiers of Coroticus." Notice I didn't say "my fellow Romans." No, your crimes have made you citizens of hell. You live like the worst barbarians, including your Pictish friends. Blood. Your hands drip with the blood of innocent Christians you have murdered, the very Christians I nourished and brought to God, my newly baptized converts, still in their white robes, the sweet smell of anointing oil still on their foreheads. You murdered them. You cut them down with your swords. That Patrick is quite a bit different than what we usually think about when we think about St. Patrick's Day. In fact, if it weren't for that particular letter and what happened with it, we would probably know almost nothing for certain about Patrick. That letter was written in response to an Englishman, a petty warlord of some sort who would have fancied himself a Christian, to attacking Christians that Patrick had just baptized. He slaughtered some and he took the rest back to England and sold them as slaves. And so Patrick wrote that letter, and I'll explain to you how Patrick got there, why it is that he had to write the letter, and how is it that we have something called Patrick's Confession. This is the first thing that we know about Patrick that's true. Patrick writes, "My name is Patrick." She says, "I, Patrick, a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers. I am looked down on by many. My father was Calpurnius. He was a deacon, and his father, Potius, was a presbyter, an elder, a priest, a pastor, who lived in Bavium Tamburni. His home was near there, and that was where I was taken prisoner. I was about 16 at the time. At that time, I did not know the true God. I was taken into captivity in Ireland, along with thousands of others. We deserve this because we had gone away from God and did not keep his commandments. We would not listen to our pastors who advised us about how we could be saved. The Lord brought his strong anger upon us and scattered us among many nations, even to the ends of the earth. It was among foreigners that it was seen how little I was. It was there that the Lord opened my eyes to the awareness of my lack of faith. Even though it came about late, I recognized my failings. So I turned with all my heart to the Lord my God And he looked down on me in my lowliness and had mercy on my youthful ignorance. He guarded me before I knew him. And before I came to wisdom and could distinguish between good and evil, he protected me and consoled me as a father does his son. Patrick was living in England. And the exact dates on Patrick are in a great deal of dispute. The figures go from about the middle of the 4th century, say 350, 360. And the death of Patrick is someplace in the 5th century, someplace between maybe 450, maybe 490, I saw a date at one place. So not certain exactly when Patrick was alive. Patrick was living on the very western edge of the Roman Empire when he was living in Britain at the time. So you have to understand that Patrick would have considered himself a citizen of Rome. Patrick spoke Latin as his first language. He would have also spoken an ancient British language. And while he was there living in this town, he was on the west coast of England. Nobody's certain exactly where the town was. So he's living on the west coast of England, and we know a couple of things about him. We know that his father was a nobleman. In fact, his name Patrick means son of a patrician, son of a nobleman. So he came from the very highest level of society. His grandfather was a pastor. His father worked in the church as a deacon. And his father was also an official of the Roman Empire. Sometime about the age of 15, Patrick did something. And he didn't tell anybody what it was until many years later. And he doesn't say exactly what it was. But it was something very, very serious. And he said, I commit this sin in the afternoon when I was 15. And it's something that only took an hour to do. Apparently, the people who have looked at it and the best explanation I've seen is, apparently Patrick murdered somebody as a young man. Patrick was not a Christian, even though his father and his grandfather and all of his family apparently was. In fact, from the little bit that one can infer from his circumstances, it seems that they must have been very devout Christians, and I'll tell you why. Patrick is there on the east or the western coast of England. Pirates came over from Ireland, and they attacked where he lived. It was pretty common, apparently, for this to happen. There was a pretty serious slave trade into Ireland. And the Irish were completely and utterly pagan and depraved. I will not defile you with giving you an idea about what the Irish were really like, but pretty much every bad thing you thought human beings could do, they'd enculturate it and say, that's a pretty good way to live. They were unbelievably wicked. They were very much barbarians. And these pirates came, and from the accounts that they have and the archaeological evidence, what it would have looked like would have been this. They would have shown up in a place and they'd immediately killed all of the babies because babies wouldn't be worth anything and the very small children. They couldn't be sold as slaves. Anybody who was too old to be sold as a slave would have been murdered right away. Those who fit good slave stock, whatever they thought they could make money for when they got back to Ireland, they'd fasten together. They put metal collars around their neck and they would chain them about 3 feet across. So there'd be a slave, 3 feet, and you'd have a collar fastened around your neck. He was taken over to Ireland. There's a slave market on the east coast of Ireland. That's probably where he went to, and even sold as a slave. Where exactly he was taken to, we can't be certain, but there's a good inference because of how he tells us about his escape. So he's probably living on the west coast of Ireland, at the very edge of the world that anybody would have known. Nobody knew about the New World at that time, at least not in Patrick's experience. And so he's now at the very farthest part of the world, and he's a slave. And while he's there as a slave, the VeggieTale says he takes care of pigs. By the way, there's a little VeggieTale cartoon that's actually pretty good, and it's pretty funny, and it gets most of it. But he was actually a shepherd, which would have been a step down. He was at the very lowest level of even slave society in Ireland. And he lived outside. He would have lived with the sheep day in, day out, day in, day out. And while Patrick was there in Ireland, Patrick became a Christian. There was nobody there to tell Patrick the gospel again. There was nobody there to pray for Patrick. His family would have thought that he was dead or gone. Who knows what they would have even thought about his condition. If you were taken to Ireland, nobody was coming back, and there's going to be nobody who's going to go there to try to save you. But while Patrick was there, living out in the cold and the wet and the mud with the sheep, he came to know the Lord, or the Lord came to know him. So apparently, Patrick was taught about the Lord fervently and often by his parents. Now, his parents didn't see any change in Patrick's life while he was with them. Patrick was not just an ill-behaved son. He was probably a murderer. So he was a worse boy than any of us have had to live with, and a worse boy than any of us have been. And he's there, and Patrick comes to know the Lord in Ireland. In fact, while Patrick's there in Ireland, he learns the Irish language. He learns Irish customs. He learns how things work in Ireland. And while he's there, there's this very interesting thing that happens to him about 6 years in. Let me get his discussion. He said, "After I arrived in Ireland, I tended sheep every day, and I prayed frequently during the day. More and more, the love of God increased in my sense of awe before God. Faith grew, and my spirit was moved, so that in one day I would pray up to 100 times, and at night perhaps the same. I remained in the woods and on the mountains, and I would rise to pray before dawn in snow and ice and rain. I never felt the worse for it, and I never felt lazy. As I realize now, the Spirit was burning in me at that time. It was there on one night in my sleep that I heard a voice saying to me, 'You fasted well. Very soon you will return to your native country.' Again, after a short while, I heard someone say to me, 'Look, your ship is ready.' It was not nearby, but a good 200 miles away. I had never been to the place, nor did I know anyone there. So I ran away and left the man with whom I'd been with for 6 years. It was in the strength of God that I went, God who turned the direction of my life to good. I feared nothing while I was on the journey to that ship." Patrick's there, and Patrick comes to know the Lord. And Patrick says, and I don't, you know, I want to be careful about people saying they have dreams and visions, but this is what Patrick said happened to him. Patrick said while he was there that the Lord recognized that he was there. He said, "Soon you're going to go home." And he said, "Your ship's ready." And Patrick left. And he walked 200 miles across Ireland. Now, to do that would have been extraordinarily dangerous. There's about 150 different tribes or clans in Ireland at the time, and they didn't like each other. They had nothing much to do with each other. They might fight one another, but people just didn't walk around in Ireland. Escaped slaves from Britain certainly didn't walk around in Ireland. He didn't belong to anybody. He didn't have anybody who would protect him. He had no one who could care for him. But he walked 200 miles from likely the northwestern corner of Ireland down to the southeastern corner of Ireland. And when he got down there, there was a ship and some men were preparing to leave. And Patrick went up and said, "I want to go on your ship. Can I be in the crew?" Well, Patrick would have given himself away as a slave pretty quickly as soon as he'd begin to speak. He probably would have had an accent. He would have looked a bit different than the Irish did. By the way, the Irish did not have red hair at this time. They didn't pick up all the red hair stuff until the Vikings came. That's another 500 years in the future. So the men at first said, "No, we don't need you." And Patrick began to walk away. And you have to wonder what he's thinking. He's like, "I thought God told me to come here and get in the ship. I've walked 200 miles. I've made it safely." But Patrick turns around and starts to walk away. And they stopped. "Wait, come back here. We can use you." So Patrick got in the ship and they left. The ship apparently had a cargo of Irish wolfhounds. That was a big trading item that they would bring from Ireland. And they would sell those back in the Roman Empire. On the way back, the ship gets blown off and they end up in Gaul, in France, instead of in Britain. And while they're there, they're walking along and it goes day and day and day. And the men that are with Patrick said, "We're not needing anything to eat. And you've been talking about this God of yours and you've been praying all the time and you're different than the rest of us. Maybe he can get us something to eat." And so Patrick prays and a herd of pigs show up. In fact, there's enough pigs that show up that all of the men can eat, and they can feed all of the dogs, and so everyone is taken care of. So God provided for them and for their crew and for the cargo, and Patrick is there, and he's in Gaul for a couple of years, and he returns back home to Britain. When he comes back, his family is overjoyed. Their son is alive. He couldn't possibly be. Well, One of the things Patrick says oftentimes in his letters is he talks about how ignorant he is. He didn't get to go to the equivalent of finishing school. He didn't go to college. He didn't get to round out his education like everyone else. And so that seems to affect him pretty acutely. He realizes that he didn't have that same education that everybody in his class would have had at this time in his life because he'd been a slave in Ireland. But God had made a slave out of Patrick. And God had been the one who had trained and raised and cared for Patrick. And he sent Patrick to exactly the right school for what the Lord wanted to do with Patrick. So I want to give you a couple lessons here just from that, and we're going to go on. The first lesson is a parenting lesson. Our primary job as a parent is to tell our children about the Lord. There is a 18th century Dutch pastor who wrote a book about child rearing, and he kind of put it like this. Your children have original sin because you gave it to them. The least you could do would tell them about the Lord so they could get rid of it. Patrick being told about the Lord, even though there was no visible fruit in his life, even though he gave them no reason at all to believe that anything they said had affected them, was affected when the Lord afflicted him. As it says in Psalm 119, is at verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Patrick talks about the fact that when he was there, that's how he came to know the Lord. He said, before I was a slave, I didn't even know myself. I didn't understand anything until the Lord made me a slave. He looked at his circumstances and he realized that this is what God had brought upon him and what God had done to him and how God had trained him. So the second thing is then, see how God works. But oftentimes we think, like, this can't be where God's taking me. Now, good is not always easy. And Patrick's life was anything but easy. But we'd have to say that Patrick's life is good as we go along, that what God did with him was good. So don't ever believe that this thing is a bad thing, because God doesn't do anything wrong. The thing itself may be very evil. There's nothing quite as evil as having to be a slave in Ireland at this time. But God used it for good because he wanted to save the Irish people. So Patrick goes back to his home, and while he's there, he has this experience, and I'll read this one to you. A few years later, I was again with my parents in Britain. They welcomed me as a son, and they pleaded with me that after all my tribulations I'd undergone, I should never leave them again. It was while I was there that I saw in a vision in the night a man whose name was Victoricus. This person, whoever it was that he saw, this is a Roman name. This doesn't sound like an Irish person he's having his dream. So perhaps it was another slave that was there, another person who'd been captured perhaps from Gaul or from Britain who'd been taken there and who was in Ireland, maybe a slave that worked with Patrick while he was there. They don't know because the name is kind of unusual. Coming as it was with from Ireland with so many letters that they could not be counted, he gave me one of these and I began the reading of the letter, the voice of the Irish people. While I was reading out the beginning of the letter, I thought that I heard at that moment the voice of those who were beside the wood of Vaclet near the Western Sea, and they think that that's perhaps the place that he was in slavery, which would be up in the northeast corner of Ireland. They called out, as it were, with one voice, "We beg you, holy boy, to come and walk among us." This touched my heart deeply, and I could not read any further. I woke up then. Thanks be to God, after many years, the Lord granted them what they were calling for. Holy boy is probably the nickname that they used for Patrick when he was in Ireland. Patrick fasting would have seemed very, very strange to the Irish. There was fasting that went on, but it wasn't at all like Christian fasting. And there was praying that the Irish would have done, but it was pagan praying. It was like, God, give me this thing and take care of this thing for me. Patrick's prayers seem to have been very different. Patrick, when he was in Ireland, and he came to know the Lord there, and his bonds seemed to have left quite an impression on the people, and they apparently called him Holy Boy. Now, there's now a number of years in which we don't know what happened to Patrick. It's not clear where he was, what he was doing, how he was living. There's lots of speculation about it. but we frankly don't know exactly what happened. We do know that at some point Patrick became a bishop, and typically that took until about the age of 50 to be made a bishop. Patrick would have gone up through the church orders. The first order that you would be called a deacon. Then after you'd been a deacon, you could be raised to being a presbyter or a priest, depending on how you want to translate the word. And then after one had been one for long enough, one could be made a bishop. And a bishop could only be appointed of a place if there were already some Christians who were present in that area. There was a missionary journey that went there in 431, and it's quite likely that Patrick may have been part of that. But by all accounts that we have of it, it did not go well. By 432, the man who was sent there by the Christian church returned back to Britain, not being very successful with his mission. But at some time, Patrick ends up back in Ireland. Now, I want you to think what that is. It's hard for us to get our minds around the equivalent of what Patrick is doing. These people are absolutely and utterly pagan. Patrick would have stood out because he didn't belong to anybody who was there. Patrick's life would constantly be in danger. At any moment, anybody could kill him and nobody would care. Patrick has no friends. He has no protection. In fact, he's going back there and he's a runaway slave. So to the extent that anybody would care anything about him, Patrick's somebody they should pack off and kill, at least send back to the family where he was. But Patrick went to be there as a missionary to these people. That's an extraordinary degree of dedication to the Lord. Patrick truly knew and loved the Lord. And that little bit of the letter that I was reading to you, Patrick said, I went here because God loves these people. So it's another thing for us to learn from Patrick's life when we think about Christian work. And I'm talking about everything from our most domestic life, the way we live with our children, the way we live with our spouse, the way we live with our parents, the way we live with our neighbors, the way that we live with the people with whom we work, up to, you know, like what we call real Christian work, when you're going to be a missionary someplace. Patrick didn't go to these people because they were lovely, and he didn't love them because there was anything good about them or anything kind about them or anything safe about them. Patrick went to these people because the Lord loved them. My responsibility to you is because the Lord loves you, not because you've done something to me or you're any good to me. In fact, all the people that I'm with, God has offered out salvation to them. And if Jesus dying is sufficient for them, then they're sufficient for me. Who am I to say that these people don't deserve my love and kindness if God has offered that to them? That's the way Patrick was living. And this wasn't just something in his mouth. This was something in Patrick's heart. This was something in Patrick's life. Let me tell you what Patrick preached. It's a little summary of Patrick's creed. Let's see. There is no other God. There never was and there never will be. God our Father was not born, nor did he have any beginning. God himself is the beginning of all things, the very one who holds all things together, as we have been taught. And we proclaim that Jesus Christ is his Son, who has been with God all in spirit always, from the beginning of time before the creation of the world, though in a way we cannot put into words. Through him everything in the universe was created, both what we can see and what is invisible. He was born as a human being and he conquered death, rising into the heavens to be with God. And God gave to him power greater than any creature of the heavens or earth or under the earth, so that someday everyone will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. We believe in him and wait for him to return very soon. He will be the judge of the living and the dead, rewarding every person according to their actions. And God has graciously poured out on us his Holy Spirit as a gift and token of immortality. The Spirit makes all faithful believers into children of God and brothers and sisters of Christ. This we proclaim. We worship God in three parts by the sacred name of the Trinity. God has said through the prophets, call on me when you are in trouble and I will rescue you and you will praise me. And again he says, it is right to declare and make known the deeds of God. So even though I am far from perfect, I want my brothers and my family to know what kind of person I am. I want them to truly understand the longing of my soul. When you listen to that, that Patrick is a far cry from a drunken parade and the ridiculous sort of things that are said about him. That's a sermon that you'd be happy to hear in your Sunday school class or in your pulpit. That Patrick, who lived so long ago, knows the same Lord Jesus Christ that you do. And that same Lord Jesus Christ that upheld him so that he willingly lived in such a way that he could risk his life. In fact, it appears from his confession at one point that he was a slave again for 60 days, but then he was miraculously released. And that he went from all of these places and he was able to preach to the people of Ireland. And able to, according to him, train men to take over his work while he was there. He left elders behind them to take care of the churches that were built. He consecrated men to Christian work. He created a Christian church by going man to man, and then he found some men whom he trained so that the Christian church would persevere in Ireland after him. Now, there is this problem with this man, Croticus, who I was reading you the letter about at the beginning. Croticus the pirate sends some men over to Ireland because the English are attacking the Irish and taking slaves from them. And Patrick had baptized several members of a clan, and they were walking back from the place where they were baptized wearing their white baptismal robes. And on the way back home, these pirates came and slaughtered them. They captured other ones and sent them back to England as slaves. Patrick wrote and said, send those people back here now. And he was mocked for doing that. They thought it was ridiculous. And so Patrick wrote that letter that I was reading to you just a moment ago. And Patrick said, no one should have anything to do with these men. He essentially excommunicates them from the church. Well, unfortunately, not everybody in the church is always a believer. And not everybody in the church always has the Lord's best interest in mind. And so it appears that the people back in England were not very much pleased with Patrick's writing such a sharp letter to a man who, you know, for the small quibble of actually murdering people walking back from baptism. And so they wanted to have Patrick withdrawn from missionary work because they weren't happy about his letter. Well, they didn't really have anything on Patrick. But the man who had consecrated Patrick a bishop had received, Patrick had confessed a sin to him about what he was as a boy. Something he had done when he was 15 on an afternoon when he didn't know the Lord. And they brought that up and they said, Patrick, we know who you are. We all know what you did, Patrick. Come back here. And that's why Patrick wrote his confession. And in Patrick's confession, when you read it, and I would commend it to you, it's well worth your time, he begins and he says, I, Patrick, a sinner. I am the least of all the faithful. Patrick didn't try to hide behind it. It's not as bad as you think, or it's this, or it's that, or it's the other thing. You know, what happened to Patrick is the same temptation that Apollyon presents Christian with in Pilgrim's Progress. Christian is going down into the Valley of Humiliation, and Patrick is going down into the Valley of Humiliation. And Apollyon wants to stop Christian from going along, and Apollyon wanted to stop Patrick from his work. And it's something that all of you have heard at some time, too. And you want to go do something for the Lord, and you hear this, it's like, do you know who you are? Do you know what you've done? Do you really think God would use you, that he wants you, that he's going to welcome you? Do you know who you are? And what answer is it to it? I'm Patrick. I'm a sinner. You're right. Christian says it's worse than you thought. You see, it's a temptation to our pride. It's a temptation to our legalism. We want to always be good and right. And it's, yeah, I'm not really that bad. But the only way out here isn't to think well of myself. It's to think less of myself. And so Patrick confesses his sin. And no place in his confession does Patrick say, I'm any great man. Patrick says, I'm somebody who doesn't know very much. I didn't have as good an education as you did. I was a slave in Ireland when that happened. In fact, I was sent as a slave in Ireland because I was a sinner then. And God did that because he wanted to save me. And so he had to knock some sense into my head. He gave me an education, all right. And a pretty painful one at that. And it was there that Patrick realized who he was in front of God. And see, Patrick's humility made him of enormous use to God. As soon as Patrick thought he could be okay for a moment, Patrick would have been valueless. When Patrick realized that he was nothing, Patrick changed an entire nation of people. The work that Patrick did there in converting people to Christianity in Ireland was actually one of the things that God used to preserve a great deal of our Christian heritage during the depths of the Middle Ages. Because after Patrick, the world's going to go into a pretty steep decline for about 400 years. Civil society is going to become at a much lower level throughout all of Western Europe, which is one of the primary locations of Christianity at this time. And if it weren't for the Irish Christians and monasteries making copies and copies and copies of the Bible and copies of Christian books that were earlier than them, we wouldn't have a great deal of what we had. So there in the very western edge of the world, God preserved a place where when the world was going to be in a rather low state, the Christianity could be kept safe, and our books and what we know about the Christians before us could be kept safe in a place for us for the next several hundred years. These things happened because Patrick did this. Patrick never went back to Britain with this. Patrick was far too concerned about what God wanted him to do, and he wasn't going to leave since God put him there. So the things I want you to see and remember about Patrick's life are, one, Patrick's parents taught him who the Lord was. Your primary job as a parent is teach your children who the Lord is. Number two, Patrick was obedient to what God called him to do, no matter what the circumstances. Patrick loved the Lord so much that his life didn't matter to him. All that mattered to him is what the Lord had called him to. I want you to think about that one thing. What would it be like now if the Christians in Southern California, not even the whole world, loved the Lord as much as Patrick did and were willing to sacrifice themselves as much as Patrick did? Do you think it would make a difference? Patrick was one man in an island of people who hated him. Patrick was one man who the Christians were trying to stop. And yet look at the good Patrick did. Patrick is an example for us for how we should live. Train your children, turn them over to the Lord, and then we need to turn ourselves over to the Lord, not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in our pride, not trusting in anything, but loving the Lord above all things and not counting our life as something that matters compared to the glory of God. And remember that those people around us are people for whom Christ died, people whom Christ loved, and people which we should tell about the Lord just like he did. So there's a whole bunch of other things about Patrick, obviously, that could be told, but for this evening, that will be sufficient. And by the way, I'm not wearing green, which tends to be the Irish Catholic color. I'm not wearing orange, which is the Protestant Irish color, because Patrick was neither Roman Catholic nor a Protestant. There wasn't such things at that time. And so let's pray, and then I believe somebody's going to be coming up. Dear Father, I thank you for the example of your servant Patrick. I thank you, God, that he was obedient, even to the point of risking his death, that he loved you so dearly, God, that he was willing to risk anything and everything that you may be glorified in his life. May we teach our children as diligently as Patrick's parents taught him. May our children grow up to love you, Lord, in such a way that their life does not count as a pin's fee compared to your glory. May, Lord, we not be sinful like the Christians who wanted to call Patrick back because it was impolitic the way he wrote. But rather, may we stand with men and women like this who love you so dearly that nothing is worth more to them than your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.